I want to give you a vision. I believe that the Holy Ghost wants to give us a vision of the end of the reward of admonitions and correction are the way of life. What are we to seek first? The kingdom. It'd be nice to know what that is and what in the world he's talking about. You ever heard somebody say, well, yeah, that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Boy, if I could be like that, that would be the kingdom. See, there is something inside of us that knows that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Some people think of it as just a place. The kingdom is a place. The kingdom is not a place. And I want to read some things to us. Go to Hebrews 11. And I just want to finish with verse 21 on John 3, but go to Hebrews 11 while I'm reading this. He that does the truth comes to the light. Not he that hears the truth, he that does the truth. He that responds positively to his convictions, digs deep, gets some understanding, and opens it up, shares it with others, prays about it, gets the word. He comes to the light. Why? That his deeds, what? He comes to the truth that his deeds will be made manifest. He comes to the truth because he wants people to see that he's walking in the light, that they are wrought in God. So, Hebrews 11, we know is the faith chapter. And I want to start. An individual came to my office today and said, this guy, and I know this goes on a lot with us. An individual came to my office today and said, you know, I'm seeing something about the kingdom. And that I see what blinds me to the kingdom. And this person went on to explain some things, and I said, well, what is it that blinds you to the kingdom? Well, it's just worldliness. I said, what? Worldliness what? Well, you know, my pride. Pride about what? What specifically? Well, you know, worldliness and pride and he shared some more. I said, what? I kept saying, what? Specifically what? Because all he was giving me was all the religious words. I said, so what specifically in your pride keeps you from the kingdom, keeps you from seeing the kingdom? Well, at that point, he kind of backed off because he didn't know that he wasn't seeing the kingdom. That's not what he wanted to tell me. He was telling me the things in the past that kept you from the kingdom. Well, I kind of moved the past into the present. Because he could not specifically tell me what his pride, area of pride was.
Children, huh?
Well, he's not going to be able to help anybody because he doesn't see it. So I told him, I says, I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you. And so this is the scripture that he read. He read it out of Hebrews, out of Hebrews 11. And he was talking about Abraham. And how by faith, in verse 8, of 11, when Abraham was called to go out to a place he should have to receive an inheritance, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13, all these that were looking died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them far off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they are seeking a country, and truly if they would have been mindful of that country from whence they left, they might have had an opportunity to go back and return. But now they desire a better country. So, without going into the whole little story, this little piece of scripture, we see Abraham was called to leave where he was living and go to a place that he didn't know. And having never seen it, he yet had a vision for it. Now, one of the things I said to this guy is I said, these Abraham and his followers and the Jews, what were they seeking? No. They were seeking the promised land. What were they promised? The promised land. They weren't promised the kingdom. They were promised the promised land. Right? They were seeking a place, weren't they? Abraham was told, and when he got there, as far as his eye, did you know most of Saudi Arabia also is included in the land that God promised to the Jews? He says, from the great river of Egypt, what river is that? The Denial. The great river of Egypt to the river of what? Euphrates. You know where Euphrates goes? Oh, yeah. And that's where civilization began. Babylon. Tower of Babel. Where did Abraham come from? Ur. Where was that? That was right around the area where the Tower of Babel was. You draw a line from the beginning of the Euphrates, or the end of the Euphrates, to the great river of Egypt, the Nile. You know what landmass you cover? Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Jordan, the whole area belongs to the Jews, deeded by God. Right now they're living in a little coastal area. Okay? Abraham was told that as far as his eye could see, and he was told the boundaries, I will give it to you and your seed. So that was the country that he was looking for. But the writer of Hebrews goes a step further, and he's talking in a mystery. Look at verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now in your Bible, country is not italicized, right? And truly, if they would have been mindful, do you know what that means? Full in their mind. You know how we've slaughtered words? If I say, yeah, I was mind empty. What do we say usually? Empty minded. You ever heard somebody say, I was mind half? I was mind three quarters? You could. Anybody been double minded? That's mind half. Double, yeah, it's mind times two. But double minded, you only have one mind. So double minded means all that's in your mind times the split in half. So half and half. That's what that would mean. If it was extra minded, then it'd be mind times two. This says mindful. Full minded. If they had a full mind, what does that mean? I'm not saying this to be funny either. What does it mean to be mindful? If their mind was filled with where they left, what's our problem? We're mindful of the wrong things. We do not have a right focus. You know where we're headed? To what we see naturally. That's where we're headed. That's what we do. That's where we go. That's how we're led. We're led by what we see, hear, touch, taste, smell. And the Bible calls that sensual. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again. If I ask you what that means, I know what you're going to tell me. Well, Brother Sullivan, that means, you know, you need to be born of God's Spirit. That's a very small part of it. You know what it means to be born again? It means to start completely, wholly over from scratch, from zero. I've met a few people in my lifetime that were born again. Physically born twice. Estical. I met a pastor who got in a motorcycle accident, died, was brought back to life, and when they brought him back to life, he was a baby. He was 20-some years old, and he had no motor skills, couldn't talk, couldn't do anything, he was just like a baby, a newborn. He was born again. And he was one of the purest thinking people I ever met. Because he was a Christian, his wife was a Christian, and everything he learned new again, he learned in Jesus. Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, you have to learn everything all over again. Paul went into the wilderness for 14 years. How many here have been walking with Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues for 14 years? Very few of us. Paul was a scholar, and he was an elder. He was a Pharisee. And when he got born again, when he got filled with the Spirit, when he was connected to Jesus Christ, he was 14 years being deprogrammed and reprogrammed. Paul got born again. If they had been mindful, if their minds would have been full. Now look at what it says. Of that, what? It's in italics. You know what that means? It was not in the original manuscript. What if we read it like this? And truly, if they would have been mindful of that from whence they came, then what's the key word here? That. They might have had an opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better. That is, a heavenly. I don't know if you're getting this, but they filled in country twice because they figured that it follows that verse 14 says, for they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. The Jews really did seek a country. But the writer here is, he is advancing the thought because he's introducing something new. That the true believer in Jesus that now is a citizen of the kingdom now is seeking a heavenly place, not a worldly, earthly place. Now they desire a better. That is, a heavenly. Notice it doesn't say anything after heavenly. It doesn't say a heavenly country, because there is no such thing. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now, to the Jews, he prepared a city, but when the Jews first settled in Israel, Jerusalem wasn't Jerusalem. So Abraham didn't come to Jerusalem and say, oh, the holy city. You see what I'm saying? So what's he talking about? He's talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, what prevents us, what do you think prevents us? Now, where does admonitions, corrections, reproof, where do they fit in this? Because the only man that appropriates the heavenly city is the new man in Christ. We're not called. We have no promised land on this earth. Matter of fact, never ever. It says in Hebrews that they saw themselves as pilgrims and sojourners. But never do you find that phrase used in the Old Covenant pertaining to the Jews going to the Promised Land. Why? Because they weren't pilgrims and sojourners. Spiritually, in the New Covenant, they saw that they were pilgrims and sojourners, but the pilgrims and sojourners didn't see themselves as pilgrims and sojourners. The Jews didn't see themselves as pilgrims and sojourners in Israel, did they? Because the land was deeded to them how long? Forever. Earth dwellers. But the Church of Jesus Christ has got a different promised land. Your promised land, my promised land, is heaven. It's the holy city. It's Zion. It's the city that's going to descend from heaven and hover above the earth. It's the bride of Christ. It's described in Revelation 21. We need to understand that correction, admonitions, corrections, the way of life, is the road, is the path, is the way to the holy city. I'm not talking about works either, because you can't work for it. Do you know what you do to get there? Respond to your convictions. Is responding working, or is responding responding? See, it's not working. It's not laboring. Because, first of all, you didn't convict yourself. No man ever convicted himself. No man ever got up, looked in the mirror and said, "You! What is wrong with you?" Now, if you do that, which would be a good practice, by the way, to look in the mirror and see what you see, and try to move beyond what you think is cool, and ask the Holy Ghost to help you see with his eyes. But I mean, who is the great conviction? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the Father, that comes to expose what? He exposed the sensuality, the seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, touching. He wants to expose the natural man so that you can see beyond the veil and see the kingdom. You're called to the kingdom. But if you're earthly, devilish, sensual, self-seeking, you'll never see the kingdom. Being religious, you know, you might say, "Well, I don't do any of those things." What if you're religious? What if you're bound in religious law? What if you're bound by fear of doing the wrong thing? That's a good one, right? Fear of doing the wrong thing. Oh, I don't know. You know, I don't want to do the wrong thing. I bury my talent. Bury my kids. bury everything so nobody does what's wrong. You know? The look at the woman that killed her 4 or 5 kids. Because, you know, she wanted to save them from the world. I mean, it's crazy. So, let's look at Hebrews 12. I'm just going to read the first 3 verses. Wherefore, seeing, well, I'll tell you what. Seeing, that is such, I could spend the next hour on that one. I'm just going to kind of emphasize it and move on. Seeing we are encompassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. I have to kind of laugh at that. If we were looking to be fed by witnesses here tonight, we'd all leave hungry. You see what I'm saying? It with us is seeing that we're encompassed with such a clear sky, cloudless of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Excuse me? The sin. How come I didn't say sins? Because all your sins, plural, come from one motivational sin. This is, you know, the Lord really made it easy for us. I mean, I would kind of be confused and baffled if I had to figure out all my sins. But I've only got basically one motivational sin. So do you. You just have to figure out what that is. Because that's the trunk. That's the root of your little sin tree. And all the branches stem from the root. And if you deal with the root, the branches will die. And that tree will no longer bear fruit, which is good for you. You don't want your little sin tree bearing fruit. Or your big sin tree. Some of us have kabongs. For those that don't know what that is, in Hawaii they got a kabong tree. These things are bigger than grapefruits. That's a big sin tree. So it says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run the race with patience. Looking, there it is again, seeing, looking, right? To who? To Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Verse 3, consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your half full, three quarters full, half empty, empty or full minds. Faint in your mind. Now I'll go back to this guy that was sharing with me that he was seeing what he said was, he said, you know, I see here that they that say such things plainly declare that they are seeking a country. And he said, I think there are things that I have not left off, that I've been mindful of, that I've left. So I said, what? Well, you know, pride. Well, what pride? Well, you know, worldliness. What worldliness? He couldn't define it. So now we're down to, and what I did not tell him, what, you know, what specifically it is? It's the stronghold of our minds. We're not really free because we give up lands and houses. Because we can still have the love of lands and houses in our mind, right? The key verse to me, the great commandment to me, beyond love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors, yourself, the greatest commandment beyond that is, you know what? He that loses his life will find it. Because you can give up lands and houses and occupations. You can give up your loves and not do them anymore, but still retain the love of that thing in your heart. And you know what? You'll faint in your what? In your mind. The stronghold is in your mind. All of the strongholds are in your mind, not in your brain. Nobody here has a bad brain. Everybody's got a good brain that's here. The problem is our mind, the spirit of our mind. And so, let's go back. Okay, So in Hebrews 11, Abraham was told to leave. So we're looking at strongholds. This is kind of what we're looking at right now, is strongholds. What prevents you and I from sharing or opening up our convictions? What prevents you from being open and free with your convictions? It's the spiritual stronghold that you're still bound to. You got to see it. It's a spiritual stronghold. So, Abraham, let's just look at him. Where, I said this before, and where was Abraham living? Ur. We know that's right around the area where the Tower of Babel was. Do you think there's a spiritual stronghold there? Guess who lives there? Ishmael's descendants and Esau's descendants. But even before they showed up on the scene, Abraham lived there. What do you suppose, why did God want him to leave the Tower of Babel? Why did he want him to leave that area? Because he could have never been delivered. He had to leave that country. There was a tremendous stronghold over Ur of the Chaldees. And the Lord wanted him out of that area. And of course he wanted him to take him to the Promised Land. He had a purpose in mind. But that was a stronghold. That was a spiritual stronghold for him. Why was it a stronghold? Because it was the center of the first world, what? No, religion. It was the center of the first world religion. How many, do you know what Billings is not? It's not the center of any religion. Billings is not the center of any false religion. Many of the places that are, New Orleans is, San Francisco is, there's a lot of centers of false and occultish religions. And in order for people to get free, they have to leave that area. Because they're familiar with it. You cannot, you know the old saying, you can take the boy out of country, you can't take country out of the boy. See, Jesus wants the power of the resurrection spirit to take the country out of the boy. If the Lord wants the country out of the boy, he can do it. And that boy will submit to it, and he will be free, and free indeed. So, I want to go back to 11, and let's look at, chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Why do you suppose this is like the unsolved mystery of the whole Jewish history? Moses was solved. I mean, they don't know where Moses was buried, but they know he was buried. God buried him. They're good with that. Elijah was taken. But they don't have a problem with Elijah because a bunch of people saw him go up and they knew that the chariot came and took him away. So they figured, you know, somebody saw him go, so the scribes and the Jewish scribes and all their Pharisaical law people, they don't have a problem with Elijah. But Enoch, they got a problem with Enoch. Because it doesn't say how he was taken, where he went. It doesn't say anything about him. It just says he just wasn't anymore. God took him. Where did he go? Where did he go? Do you know what is obvious to me? And why is it that he shows up? Where does he show up? Somebody, I challenge you to find him somewhere between Genesis and here. He's not there. You find him in Genesis through the generations, and when he appears and when he's born and who his father is, and then it says, and God took him. He wasn't anymore. God took him. And then he's lost throughout all the generations. He shows up in chapter 11. And then in chapter 12, we get this mystery in verse 15. If truly they had been mindful of that from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better. That is a heavenly. Because that's where Enoch went. He's in the presence of God. Enoch never saw the promised land. Do you see that? Now, we don't understand this, but to the Jews, they got to know where he went. It's like they cannot be satisfied until they get all the dots, the I's dotted, the T's crossed, all the loose ends cleared up. Enoch has never been cleared up. He's where? He is what Abraham's talking about. He is what Hebrews 11 is talking about. I believe it's a provocation provoking them to look somewhere besides Israel. Our provocation is easy because we're not promised Israel, we're not promised Jerusalem, we're not promised Billings, we're not promised any geographical area. We're promised heaven. Now, you know, that's okay, we all know that, right? Where's your destiny? Oh, heaven. But is that our focus? Really, are we considering the fact that we are the bride of Christ and the bride is the holy city? Do we consider that? Okay, so let's look at verse 15, Hebrews 12, 15. So looking, here we go again, key word, what? Seeing, looking, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore many be defiled. This is speaking about the spirit of your mind. Strongholds. Looking diligently. How do we faint in our mind? Cece has fainted in her mind concerning me as her husband, thinking she's enough, from time to time she paints in her mind, because she loses her focus on me and the Lord. Her focus goes to other places. When you look outside of the Spirit, when you are earthly minded, sensual, when mostly you live in your five senses, you will be discouraged and you'll faint in your mind. The spirit of your mind. That's why the admonition is seek first the kingdom. Seek first. And how do we do that? We respond to our convictions. That's what keeps us excited. It keeps us strong. It keeps us in the spirit. You respond to your convictions and you take them seriously, you won't mope around. See, you would normally think, if I respond to my convictions and I think about my convictions and I read about what the Word has to say and I pray about it and talk about it, I'm going to be thinking that, you know, my tail's going to be dragging continually. But you know what? That's not how it works. Because what is admonition, reproof, and correction? It's your wisdom, it's your wealth, and it's your health. So this is one of the mysteries of the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom. If you want righteous peace and joy, if you want life and health and abundance and peace and a sound mind, Jesus said, lose your life.
Lose your pride in life.
Lose who you think you are, who you want people to see you are. Lose, hate your life in this world. Give. Now, of course, if we want to get. See, these are some of the laws of the kingdom, right? In the world, if you want to get, what do? You take. You invest. You cheat. You lie. You step on whoever you have to step on. That's how you get in the world. Jesus says, if you want to get, give. It's just the opposite. If you want to gain, lose. If you want to live, die. You see it? It's all backwards. That's why it's the kingdom. And it works. That's the mystery. That's the miraculous thing. It works. So, look at verse 22. You are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. See, we are not being brought to any earthly geographical place. It says in verse 22, you are come to Mount Zion, to the holy city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. In case you don't understand it, he says, you're being brought to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. That's you. Your name is written in the book of heaven. Admonitions, correction, reproof keep you on the path and help your focus remain right and keep you full. You got, like Joe said, your little revival. If you turn to my reproof, I will what? Pour out my spirit, not dribble it. He didn't say, I will dribble out my spirit upon you. If you turn to my reproof, I'll pour out my spirit on you. Now, this is also part of the mystery. Look at verse 27. And this word, what word? The word, what is Hebrews 12? I've left a lot of it out, but it talks about chastening, right? It's a chastening chapter. What is chastening? It's the kingdom. It's what ushers us into the kingdom while we are yet living here. We need to value it and not shy away from it. We need to embrace it and not be afraid of it. Look what it says. This word of reproof, correction, and chastening. This word of looking to the kingdom. Looking and this word and promise that we're being called to a heavenly place, yet once more signifies or proves or seals the removing of those things which are shaken as things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken will remain. Do you know what cannot be shaken? The holy city, the kingdom of God. It cannot be shaken. Look at verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. Now, go real quickly. Got just a little bit of time left. Go to Ephesians. And I just want to read Ephesians 2. So then, 1 through 3. So then, you as he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Why were you dead in your trespasses and sins? Because you had no convictor. You were dead in sins because you had no conviction. Right? And you didn't respond to the convictions you did have, but you didn't have Jesus. Where in times past, you walked according to the course of the world, sensuality, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the spirit that now works in children of disobedience, among whom you all had your conversation in times past, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Where is the stronghold? In your mind. By very nature, you were the children of wrath. Okay, in chapter 4, look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, Ephesians 4:17, and I testify in the Lord, that you should henceforth walk no longer as other Gentiles walk in what? The emptiness of their mind. Their mind is empty. Their mind empty. They're not mindful. Their mind empty. Because they mind earthly things. They're full of the earth. They're full of the earthly things. Just because of time, I want to take you to go to Revelations or Revelation 21. I just want to show you where this is at. You can read this, spend some time on it yourself. But Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven, verse 1, and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw John, and I, John, saw the holy city, Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now look at verse 9.
And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the last plagues, and he talked with me, and he said, come on over here, I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. I want to show you Jesus' wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as a crystal, great walls high, 12 gates, 12 angels. I mean, it just goes on. It's tremendous. You can read it on your own. And it goes on down to the end of the chapter. Yes, 423. And we talked about that. We shared that on just, I think it was last week or so. So, some of this might have been kind of hard to follow, but it's real easy. Respond to your conviction. That's the purpose of the Spirit in admonitions, reproofs, and correction. Respond to your conviction.